Hello, I'm Trey Marone, and welcome to the West Virginia Educast. On today's episode, our topic is school board efficiency. We're actually going to take a look at West Virginia Board of Education Policy 2322, which is titled West Virginia System of Support and Accountability, but we're only going to look at a very specific section, Section 6, that's called County Board of Education Member Responsibilities and Processes. We'll take a close look at what is actually being measured by the State Department under this policy and how it is being measured. Finally, we'll discuss what school board members are expected to be doing in order to meet the requirements set by the state board in this area. Joining me today to discuss this topic is Matt Hicks, Director of Accountability Services in the Office of Accountability and Assessment for the West Virginia Department of Education. Matt has been a West Virginia educator for the past 14 years, spending his time as a special educator for the first 8. For the last 6, Matt has worked at the State Department, serving in federal programs as a special education compliance monitor, and for the last 4 years in the accountability office. He has his master's in educational leadership, certification in special education, and his bachelor's degree in elementary education. Matt has also completed the Strategic Data Project Fellowship through the Center for Education Policy Research at Harvard University, which is a 2-year program that develops pre-K through 12 and higher education data leaders to strengthen the capacity of the field to use data for improvement. Matt's passion is partnering with West Virginia educators to make data-informed, student-centered decisions. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks for having me, Trey.
Well, data-driven or data-informed decision-making, that's something that's always been very interesting to me. I'm kind of a data person. I like to see that. So I'm glad to meet somebody that's likewise driven by those things. Matt, if you'd first tell us about the Office of Accountability, what is it and what does it do?
Yeah, sure. So the Office of Accountability facilitates the West Virginia Accountability System. In doing that, we work with all offices at the West Virginia Department of Ed to determine those annual county determinations. We use the balanced scorecard and the 11 county operational effective indicators as outlined in Policy 2322, as you referenced before. We also manage the West Virginia Distinguished School Program, conduct special circumstance reviews, recommend county approval status, and coordinate any state of emergencies or immediate interventions as directed by the Board of Education. So we pretty much oversee the entire accountability system, specifically everything outlined in Policy 2322.
So in looking at that, you know, for purposes of accountability, you're looking at county board members as well. And I mentioned in my opening about Policy 2322, which is West Virginia's System of Support and Accountability Policy. But we're going to focus specifically on Section 6 of that policy for this podcast here today, Matt. How would you describe Section 6 of Policy 2322?
Okay, Section 6 is titled County Board of Education Member Responsibilities and Processes, as you were speaking about earlier. And it outlines exactly that. It goes over all of the things that County Board of Education members need to be looking at, asking their superintendent, and working through as a collective board. This section of the policy is where we get the information for determining the status for the school board efficiency indicator, which is one component of the annual accountability accreditation process that is conducted by, you know, the Department of Education and then approved by the Board of Education.
So basically, I mean, your office is doing this annual review for accountability purposes of county school boards. And one component of many that you look at is the county board member component. And you used a term, school board efficiency indicator. So there are things that you're measuring to determine, I would say, the efficiency of those county board members. Is that correct?
Yes, the county board member efficiency indicator is just one of 11. So our accountability policy is, you can look at it in two different pieces. You have the balanced scorecard, which outlines the more academic side of each individual school. And then we also look at that information rolled up into the county. And then you have the 11 efficiency indicators that outline more of the operational side. You're thinking finance, facilities, federal programs, such and so forth. One being County Board of Education members. So that's what Section 6 kind of outlines. And it goes over all of the different things that we will be looking at to determine if they're meeting those requirements or needing assistance.
Well, when I took a look at Section 6, you know, it's a few pages, if you will, and there are several things that are outlined in there that are determined to be County Board of Education member responsibilities and processes. And, you know, it covers quite a few things in there in much detail. But I wanted to refer to your manual. You have a manual that's just full of information on Policy 2322 that's available on your website. And that manual has a section in it regarding what we're talking about here today. And it has five bullet points of things that are pulled from Section 6. And the way I read that is those are things that your office is looking at to determine whether or not the county board and members are meeting the requirements that you have of them. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes. We, in that manual, goes over all of the efficiency indicators, and the board member effectiveness has those five, and I'd be happy to go through those and answer any questions.
Well, I think that's what we should do here is go through those five bullet points and one by one and let you explain to us, you know, what you're looking at and why. And the first one I see on the list is board agendas and minutes. What's your office looking for when it comes to county board agendas and minutes of their meetings and why?
Yes, we're looking to make sure they're being made public. So are they accessible to the public? We are going to look to make sure that they're accessible on the county webpage. So part of Section 6.1 specifically, states like beginning January 1st, 2020, board agendas and minutes shall be made public on the county webpage. So we are looking through all 55 county webpages to find where those agendas and minutes are made public.
Well, I think that's a really good point for our listeners, because I think the fact that, you know, we have agendas that are posted, you know, we've come a long way, you know, historically in agendas and what they say, board minutes as well. But now we've gotten to the point where making them public actually includes under this policy, making them available on the county's webpage, correct?
Yes, that is correct. And, you know, my office is going through all 55, so it's kind of a tedious process. Some counties have a very intuitive webpage that it's easy to find those board agendas and minutes. Some of them are 4 to 5 clicks deep. So as we go through this, we're making some notes that we can share with the superintendents to help them make these agendas and minutes more accessible. And then if we can't find one, then we'll work with them to try to find where it's being posted.
So a good takeaway there is make sure that your board agendas and minutes are not only public, but they're on your webpage and they're easy to access because Matt and his people are looking to see, right?
Yes. Yeah. And we're going to, this is the first year that we're making this determination for county board members. This is the first year for this indicator. So we will be reaching out to superintendents if we can't find the link and requesting them to send us the link. So we don't want us overlooking something on the webpage to look negatively on the county. So we will be reaching out to superintendents.
And to be clear, you know, this is not like an aha moment. Aha, we don't see your board minutes and agendas on your webpage, so you're in big trouble. You, I'm sure, remind them, hey, you need to get those on your webpage. You know, we are looking, but this is what the policy requires. And they're there to guide and support, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we are. Oftentimes, we don't visit county webpages very frequently. So if we can't find them from a first glance at it, it's probably a good idea to maybe move it in a certain more easily noticeable or accessible way. County Board of Education members or superintendents or employees that use the website more frequently may be able to find them easier just out of knowing how to navigate the website. But we will make suggestions as we're looking through these. So it takes some time. There are 55 counties, so it's a tedious process.
Well, speaking of agendas, what else are you looking at on the agendas?
Yeah, so we're also looking that once a month, the board agendas are required to include one of the following. So school performance, student outcomes, academics, or local school board goals and actions to improve student achievement and well-being. So are boards of education talking about what's important, you know, student success?
So boards need to once a month, not all, but most boards, I guess, meet, you know, regularly twice a month. Some meet more, but there needs to be an agenda at least once a month that is addressing one or more of those items you just listed: school performance, student outcomes, academics, local school board goals and actions to improve achievement, things of that nature. Those need to be showing up on agendas, right?
Yes. And how we look at this, we do a random sample of 4 months. And that's how we use to verify. So we'll pick a random 4 months throughout the year, look at those 4 months, make sure that the agendas include some of the requirements, and kind of go from there. This is where having agendas and minutes easily accessible makes our job easier. So we're not having to look through the web page or do, you know, constant back and forth with the superintendent to get these minutes and agendas.
Well, this is a good reminder of that here today, because, you know, as a former board member myself and setting agendas and things, you know, there are so many things with the operation of the school district that you have to make sure and get those things on the agendas. And you just don't want to lose sight of the very reason why we're doing what we're doing, right? So all these things have to do with, you know, the performance of the schools, the students and things. Very appropriate and certainly a good thing to see those on agendas at least once a month. So what else does your office look at?
We're also looking to see whether the county board is assessing their own performance using the statutorily required County Board of Education member performance appraisal. So that was just revised this past year. That technical assistance is coming out of this office as well, and making those results public as well.
Okay, so county boards should be doing their performance appraisals. You know, this is, I guess, a reminder if you're not, to be doing those, but also an important reminder there is that those results have to be made public. Is that correct?
That is correct. And this can happen a few different ways. A county can post the results on their webpage, kind of like they do their agendas and minutes, and say, hey, here's the results of this appraisal, or they can have it as an agenda item at a local Board of Education meeting. Again, having those agendas and minutes accessible makes our life a lot easier. And again, if we can't find that, we'll be reaching out for the link to those pages or the agendas that have the information.
Yeah, the agendas and then those minutes that is a result, but also reflect that discussion or that those results have been made public. So that's good to know, Matt. So what's next? I mean, we've talked about the board agendas and minutes. We've talked specifically about what should be on an agenda at least once a month. We've talked about the Board of Education assessing their performance and making those results public. What else do we have on the list?
That is meeting with the local school improvement councils, the LSICs of those schools deemed to be low performing, and then make sure that the county board has submitted those details of that meeting to this office so I can share with the Board of Education.
So your office is looking at whether the county board is meeting with the LSIC of each school that's deemed to be low performing, but not necessarily whether it's meeting with every school, correct?
Yes, that is correct. County boards need to meet with the LSICs of those schools designated as comprehensive support and improvement schools or CSI schools. And this is the designation that the Every Student Succeeds Act or our ESSA plan gives to those lowest performing schools in the state. However, we do encourage local boards to continue meeting with all schools, LSICs. That is a good avenue to get information coming from those schools, but the requirement is from those low performing schools.
And your office is also looking at whether the county board has submitted details of that meeting to the State Board of Education as well, you mentioned. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, we send out a Microsoft form to all the superintendents. We utilize the superintendent listserv that comes out of Superintendent Birch's office. There'll be a line item there with the link to it. Superintendents will go to that link, submit the agenda that shows the LSIC meeting happen for those specific schools. And then we've sent this out a couple of times. I think it's already gone a couple of times. And these agendas need to be submitted by September 1st.
Good to know. So we've covered four of the five items on our list here today. And these are things that your office is looking at to measure a county board's efficiency. But we have one more to go. Which is that, Matt?
Yes, we're also looking to see whether the county board has adopted a policy that provides for parent, family, business, and community involvement in the schools and how they're fostering those relationships.
You know, well, certainly the involvement of all of those parents, family, business, and community involvement in the schools is so very important to the success of a school district. And while county boards may say, yes, we agree with that philosophy, the key is that the county board is required to have a written policy on the books that demonstrates that the county board is providing for that involvement, is what you're saying. The county needs to have a policy, a written policy on the books that provides for that.
Correct. Yes. You know, gaining input from, you know, all stakeholders is very important to overall student success. Education is a collective effort. So you have families and schools, the central office, the State Department of Education, Board of Education. It's a very collective effort and a policy that counties have to gain the input from community members and families and businesses helps facilitate this process. So we're going to be looking at that. And also, counties normally have this, you know, through their Title I process. That's one way. There's a couple other ways that they have this in the past. But as long as they have a policy on the books that gains that input from all stakeholders.
Good to know. So some counties may already have the policy through their Title I work. Others may have a policy standing alone. The key is to have a policy. I assume when you look at policies in 55 counties, you probably see a variety. There's not probably a boilerplate policy, but a variety of policies that meet those needs. Is that
Yes, fair? That is correct. It's pretty broad. And again, since this is the first year we're looking at it, it's taking a little bit more time. Now that I have policy numbers per county, it'll be easier to look at in future years. So,
well, I don't remember. Well, I'm sure who said it first is a subject to debate, but I can remember when I first heard the phrase, if it gets measured, it gets done. So I'm thinking today with this episode, you've given our listeners just the punch list of what's getting measured when it comes to county school board members' efficiency and that factors into their effectiveness and eventually into the status of the county board and the school system. So very valuable information. I can't thank you enough for taking your time today to discuss this information for our listeners and to give them such valuable insight into not only these things just generally, but actually clarifying for them what's being measured, why it's being measured, how it's being measured. And hopefully in the end of the day, everybody takes note of that. And we all get straight A's from you when you're looking at county school board members.
Yes, that's what I am hoping. But again, I appreciate the opportunity to share this information. I think this podcast is a great information source to get another avenue to spread some information. So I do appreciate the opportunity. Yeah, if I can be of any help, contact information is on the department website. I'd be happy to answer anything that I can.
Yeah, you're not hard to find. Just go on the website, you find you in your manual, and all this information is all accessible. You make everything very accessible, and it's been great talking to you. Very, very much appreciate you taking your time again today. I want to just say, be sure to our listeners and join us for another episode of the West Virginia Educast, where we will look at issues facing school districts. And also, if you've missed any of our prior episodes, there are now close to 20 recorded episodes on the Bowles Rice website that you can access and listen to at your convenience. Until then, I'm Trey Marone, and this is the West Virginia Educast. Thanks for taking a listen.